You're now locked in to HBCU Pulse. We're the number one outlet for HBCU life, talking about everything that's important to our culture, from on-campus issues to politics and what's trending on the yard. We always keep that same energy. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse and host of HBCU Pulse Radio, in the building for another special edition of the show on today, where it is finally football season after what seems like forever. It has been the longest summer ever, but we're here. We're back and ready to cover HBCU football. I have Ariel Kilgore in the building, our sports correspondent. How you doing today, Ariel?
Listen, it's been a long week. But I don't know why. It's just when football season hits, all your problems melt away. You hear football season, it's like, who cares? Like, we're ready to go. I'm ready to lock in. I'm ready to not be bored anymore because it's been a freaking long summer. But it's football season, Randall. It's football season.
College football starts on this Saturday. The MEAC/SWAC Challenge, HBCU football, is back. It's this weekend, which means football is back. And this year's matchup for the MEAC/SWAC Challenge is really interesting because it features a rematch of the 2021 Celebration Bowl between Jackson State and South Carolina State. So it's a lot going into this game. So I got to ask you this to start off, Ariel. Who wins this game and why?
I don't even think it's really who wins the game, but if we had to choose, I'm thinking South Carolina State. But I don't think it's really about who wins the game. I think it's about how tough these teams are. They're both on different spectrums of the scale this year. Jackson State is basically rebuilding their leadership. They still have tough players. They still have dogs on their team. And I'm not saying without Deion Sanders, they're not great. But when you have new leaders and you see it in the NFL and you see it with different coaches, it takes time to learn what a coach is like. And I'm glad that they pulled from their staff, that T.C. Taylor has been there. He knows what's going on. He knows those players. And I believe Deion Sanders left them in good hands. But it's just going to be new for everybody, trying to figure out how he works, what kind of plays he loves to run. What is he most dominant with? Is it going to be the pass? Is it going to be running? Are they really good on special teams? Are they really bad on defense? That's what we're trying to figure out. Buddy Pughes, I think, has more of a problem than Jackson State, because Jackson State just has a coaching problem. South Carolina State has had a terrible team problem, a terrible football system problem. Buddy Pughes is an amazing coach, but nothing has been clicking for these past 2 years. They lost their quarterback a year ago, and then they lost their defense literally last year, being the last in the MEAC. So it's those things of having to rebuild a team and having to rebuild with the coach that is really going to show what they have been doing in this offseason. Personally, to me, I feel like Jackson State, without an identity, is going to struggle a little bit no matter how good you are. And I think this is an opportunity for South Carolina State to pounce on that and to use that as momentum and to revive their football program. The past 2 years of seeing South Carolina State being dominated in easy games. So hopefully they use this weekend to build up on a quarterback. They had a two-system quarterback going on last year, which did not work. So if they can figure those things out, if they can do more conversions on their third downs, then I think possibly we may see a different, more exceptional, more used to South Carolina State than what we all know.
I totally agree. And the thing for me, and I hate being in this position, I'm very undecided. I can't tell you who's going to win that game. I honestly can't. I mean, if I'm going with just straight sports instinct or football instinct, or just if I'm betting money and I gotta bet money to save my life, who I'm picking, I'm picking South Carolina State just because of the coaching pedigree of Buddy Pough and what we saw in the Celebration Bowl. But I just really undecided because I sort of want Jackson State like to win in a way, because I want them to succeed. Number one, because a lot of folks are saying y'all aren't proven. Y'all only good because Deion Sanders was at Jackson State. And I'm like, nah, I want y'all to be good. Get back to the SWAC championship years. Bring it back to the Walter Payton years if you can. Ooh. I want them to be great. But like, I also want them, in spite of the possible success of Deion Sanders at Colorado, which I think Deion Sanders is going to have a better season than a lot of folks are saying, I want Jackson State to either be just as good as Colorado this first season or better. And I do think that there's an opportunity that they can, but I really can't tell you because we got to see what Jackson State looks like. Now, we're talking about next week, for example, and we do this show next week and you say, hey, who's going to win, FAMU or Jackson State? Oh, I could tell you then, because I see a week of tape on Jackson State, and then we know pretty much what FAMU's plan of attack is going to be, although they lost Xavier Smith, Isaiah Land, a couple of others to NFL and graduation. But with this matchup, I can't really tell you.
Yeah, you got to look at who is after Jackson State. Alabama State is going to try to run it back and get their leg back. Of course, you're going to see FAMU. You also have to see emerging teams like Grambling State, who was also looking to be back on top. Because last year, they were a disappointment for the both of us, and we did not enjoy that at all. So I agree. It is kind of hard to choose, but we're all just unfortunately worried about what are they going to look like without such a dominating coach. I just think Jackson State is in a whirlwind of what do we do? How do we figure this out quickly? And how are we going to try to stay at the top? Because there are a lot of teams that are going to be coming for them this year.
I totally agree. And I think that another thing that Deion Sanders brought to Jackson State, of course, was talent. And oftentimes, we said this before, and we were unapologetic with it, even with the criticism that came from a lot of folks, is that we didn't really think Deion Sanders was that great of a coach. I mean, he was a good football mind, but tactically, he didn't put the team in the best position to win. When you have so much talent, and you have talent that sometimes trumps the other team's talent, you're going to win more often than not because you have playmakers. So now you have a TC Taylor. I think that the key to his game is going to be, he has to be tactical. And TC Taylor is a good coach because we've seen him develop players. We've seen him in winning situations. We saw him at North Carolina Central develop a lot of amazing players for the Eagles. So I think that TC Taylor is a good coach, and it's going to come down to, okay, what plays am I calling? How am I managing the game? What is my offensive and defensive coordinator doing? Like, do my players know how to manage the pressure? Do my players know how to manage third downs and fourth downs? Like, how are we going to play the game? I think that's going to be really what determines that game. But I got to ask you this, Ariel. So we talked about Jackson State. They have TC Taylor. They have a bunch of new players. You have South Carolina State that is trying to rebound and get back right in the MEAC and honestly get back to the Celebration Bowl because they beat North Carolina Central, but they didn't get over the hump because they went 3-8 and they lost against teams they honestly should have beaten. So which team needs this win to start off their season to have a productive rest of the year?
Oh, man. Is both of these teams having problems? But I think the team that needs this the most is South Carolina State. I think Buddy Pough has something to prove going into this season, proving if he's able to coach this team, not his talent and his ability to coach, but his talent and ability to coach this specific team, this team that needs to win majority of their games, not this team that needs to go back into the championship. They don't need to do that. I don't think this year that's something that needs to be proven. I think just what needs to be proven is that we're actual winners. Winning runs in our blood. This is nothing new. So I think trying to reaffirm what's already in South Carolina State, what's already in their history, is really important to them. So if anybody has to win this game, I'd rather South Carolina State win this game. I'd rather have a team that lost their sense of winning to be able to have that back than a team like Jackson State who just has to work underneath a new coach. The talent is still there. The fans and the new equipment and whatever Deion Sanders left is still there at Jackson State. South Carolina State is literally rebuilding from the ground. I just believe South Carolina State needs this win a little bit more.
I think that's valid. But I have to say that Jackson State needs this win more. And I'm going to tell you the reason why, and it's a really simple reason in my mind. They got to get a win before they head to Hard Rock Stadium for the Orange Blossom Classic against FAMU. Because now what FAMU had to go through last year, Jackson State is going through this year. Because you had FAMU that played UNC, and they did really well. They had the situation going on with compliance, and some players didn't get a chance to play. So we didn't see a full-strength FAMU against UNC. But you saw that Jackson State sort of knew what FAMU was running, knew what they had, and they were able to game plan for that. Now this year, you have Jackson State that's playing in week zero against South Carolina State. So now FAMU is going to be watching just like us on ABC. They're going to be watching. They might have a whole entire team party showing on the big screen and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what I'm seeing. Because that's extra motivation. Because to be honest, the Orange Blossom Classic, just like it's been the past two seasons, that's going to be for the SWAC East, so they can get to the SWAC Championship. So I think whoever wins this is once again going to get over that hump and get to the SWAC Championship. So they need a win. They need momentum. So if they lose this game, I can't tell you what the end of September will look like. I can't tell you, okay, they're going to win this, that game. I think that the momentum is going to help them get over the hump this season post Deion Sanders. And I think that fan base, which is an amazing fan base, they're going to always be there. They've always been there leading the FCS in attendance, but they need that win to tell folks, listen, this is what we got going on. We're good over here. We've been winning SWAC championships, and we might mess around and win this year. So I think that Jackson State really needs to win more than anything.
If people could see my face, it's like, I hear you, but it's literally going one in one ear and literally out the other. I don't think Jackson State has anything to prove in this MEAC SWAC challenge game. I believe there's something to prove in the season, especially in the Orange Blossom Classic against FAMU. And I don't want to underplay the game because that matchup is one of the best matchups in the SWAC. But when that happens, we'll deal with that. This is nothing that they necessarily have to worry about. I think this is just really, really good practice to see their weaknesses and their strengths. And maybe who TC Taylor is actually going to put in that QB1 spot. I know they have someone, but that still can be up in the air depending on how you play, especially how you play in big lights. So this is more of just like a puzzle to them. I don't believe this game is as important as it is to South Carolina State. It's not that deep for them as it is for those Bulldogs.
So let me ask you this then. So I agree with you to the point that Jackson State doesn't really have a lot to prove in this game outside of redeeming the championship, because their season starts week one, because they're fighting for the SWAC championship and the Celebration Bowl in week one. But you have that looming shadow we have to talk about. We've already talked about it. Deion Sanders is at Colorado. He left Jackson State. And now TC Taylor is at the helm. So like I said, I want to see Jackson State be successful in spite of the move. But do you think that Jackson State will succeed under TC Taylor in their post-Deion Sanders era?
Anybody's going to go back and they're going to check me and they'll be like, she said no last season. And my answer is still no. I see a good season. I see a season of improvement and what we can expect next year. But I think this is the time to not think about, let me just try to prove a championship or try to prove that Jackson State is still good without Deion Sanders. We have to prove we still have a team without Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders gave you guys your wins, but we need to see if we can even be a team, if we can even be a winning team. Bump trying to be on top, Bump trying to be in the Celebration Bowl right now. We just need to prove that we still have talent, that we're still good over here without him. I think that should be their main focus right now. I just need them to prove that they can be a winning team without him.
I totally agree with the sentiment of what you're saying. And I always talk about expectation, because I think that the large expectation for teams that within themselves are rebuilding, because although Jackson State had a successful past few seasons, they're rebuilding because they lost so much once Deion Sanders left. But what I think is this, and I know that Jackson State might not have a lot to prove with this game, and that FAMU game is going to mean a lot for their season. But I think that they will be good. I think that we should make the expectation realistic. And I think some Jackson State fans are, but I think that they're going to be good with what they have, because I think TC Taylor is going to shock a lot of doubters, because looking at his resume and what he's done, TC Taylor is a good coach. And I think they have some good players and they're going to get some wins. But to me, the test of the TC Taylor regime is winning this game, is making this game competitive, is the decisions that he makes, especially in a close game. What timeouts are you taking? What plays are you taking in and out? What formations are you running? Like, are you going forward on fourth down? Like, you know, that coaching mentality, that strategic chess match between the legend and TC Taylor. Like, I think that that's going to be really what sets the season. If we see a good showing, win or lose, if we see a good showing there, if I see that TC Taylor is winning this chess match, he's competing in this chess match with Buddy Pough, I'm like, okay, I think that they'll be good. But it's going to go down to what we see on Saturday. And I think that that's going to be the biggest test. But I gotta ask you this before we move on. And you talked about it briefly when we started off. What is South Carolina State gonna do? Like, do you see them competing with North Carolina Central? Do you see them bouncing back? What does this season look like for South Carolina State?
I see South Carolina State ultimately being 3 in this MEAC conference. I have a sneaky choice in this next segment about who can potentially beat Central. Just because of last season, because they were literally one game off. And I think you know the team I'm talking about, and I'm not trying to have spoilers, but they were literally one game off. I believe that South Carolina State is going to be 3 in this conference. I think the growth of their running game this year is definitely essential, but I just feel like there's too much that South Carolina State has to do and has to work on to be anything more. And like I said, this will be the challenge that we get to see. And I love being proven wrong. I do believe they are going to take this SWAC MEAC challenge. I would love to see the South Carolina State that we're used to. But this is going to be very interesting this weekend.
I'm going to tell you what's going to be interesting. Like, I'm really interested to hear what your overall season preview is, because you called North Carolina Central last year. Like, you went after the Aggie Eagle Classic. You said Davius Richards is that guy. They're going to be really good. So you called it even before me, because I was looking at Benedict and D2. I was locked into D2 last year. I'm like, Benedict is really good. Fort Valley is doing really good. So you were like, no, North Carolina Central, they're going to be those guys. So I'm interested to hear who you think the MEAC champion is going to be, and how do you think the MEAC is going to shape up in general?
Central is going to do it again, and it has to be a dominant performance, because I believe the only team that could take this away for them is Howard. Howard was projected to be 1 in the MEAC after Central had lost to South Carolina State in conference. That was supposed to be over for them after that beautiful 4-0 start season that they had. But then Central beat Howard, which put them tied in the conference. But if Central messes up again and loses to South Carolina State, or they even lose to Morgan State or Norfolk State, Howard could see the Celebration Bowl this year. But those are my two teams that I believe that can take it, but I want Central to run it back, and I believe Central can run it back again.
I feel that. I think if Howard makes the Celebration Bowl, it would be a movie. The celebrities that'll be there, the alumni, oh, that would be a movie. But let me tell you this about the SWAC. And I hate that I have to sound like everybody else, because I think FAMU makes it. I think Jackson State is going to have a really good season. They're going to exceed a lot of expectations. But FAMU is hungry for this. They've wanted this for the past 4 years, and they're going to go out there against Jackson State, and they're going to give it their all. And then with that win, I think that's a morale booster. It's going to give them momentum, and they might go undefeated or lose like one game. They might lose that South Florida game, but they might have like a grambling 2016 season where they only lose one game, and then they make it to the SWAC championship. Then they go to the Celebration Bowl. But I think for the SWAC West, it's going to be Southern again. I just don't see anyone else outside of Alcorn really competing with Southern, because we know we had the quarterback issue at Southern that precluded them. But I think it's going to ultimately SWAC championship in December is going to be FAMU and Southern. Round 2, crazy rivalry. FAMU wins. And if you say it's going to be Howard in the Celebration Bowl or North Carolina Central, I'm saying it's FAMU, and we're going to see what happens there.
Where's Prairie View in all this? You have no hope. You forgot about them.
I didn't really forget about it. I just think that they're not going to be as competitive as Alcorn or Southern, and I have to see something from them, because I think that Texas Southern, with a great quarterback in Andrew Biddick, because he's really good, I just, like, they got to get out, you know, that first game. Like, Texas Southern's Prayer, you got to get out of that, you know? So are you going to win that game to even make it where you're in the conversation for even winning the SWAC West? So I think that it's going to come down to Southern and Alcorn, and that game, just like last year, is going to mean a whole lot. And then that's going to then determine who makes it out the West to eventually play FAMU. So let me ask you this. So you said either North Carolina Central or Howard, but you said North Carolina Central is going to go back. And I said that FAMU is going to win the SWAC over Southern. So in that matchup, the hypothetical matchup, let's make a pick, because I'll make a pick for this one. Who do you think would win the hypothetical Celebration Bowl matchup with our picks for each conference?
I would have to be really technical here. I believe Central could win this on a field goal. That's how close is going to be. I don't want to doubt FAMU, but I feel like Central may take it again, which will be history for them to run it back twice.
I think, and I got a lot of love for North Carolina Central. I got a lot of love for Davius Richard. I think he's going to get drafted. But I believe that if it's FAMU versus North Carolina Central in the Celebration Bowl, FAMU wins. It's a close game. FAMU wins. And I think it will be a very compelling quarterback matchup between Jeremy Musa and Davius Richard. I think that it would be incredibly compelling, but I think that FAMU ultimately wins. And I think it's just going to go down to coaching. I just think FAMU has to take it because they want it too badly. Like I said, they wanted it since 2019. And objectively, they should have gotten it in 2019. So they're going to get it this year, in my opinion.
It's all these technical randoms. Almost doesn't count, Randall. You either have it or you don't. I'm sorry, guys. You either got it or you don't, which probably sets you up for this next question about my lovely, lovely Aggies.
It does, because we have to talk about the HBCUs that are not in historically black conferences, because we got love for them too. So we're going to talk about it. And I want you really to launch the CAA, because North Carolina A&T is in the CAA and Hampton is going to be in his second season in the CAA. So I want you to tell me about North Carolina A&T and Hampton. So we're going to start with North Carolina A&T. How do you think North Carolina A&T will fare in a super tough conference like the CAA that's a little bit tougher than the Big South?
You know, this will be A&T's third year being outside in the HBCU conference, 2 years in the Big South after 2020, and then now you're in the CAA. So I believe right now that Hampton has a better advantage because they've been there. This is their second year. They kind of know what to expect. They know how to build a team around that. North Carolina A&T just factually has not been the best team when it comes to transferring conferences. But also you have a new coach, and also you're still trying to develop some of your talent, especially offensively. And looking at their practices and talking to some of the players, they all feel confident. They all feel like that, hey, this could be our season that possibly we can seek a playoff run. Maybe we can get back to who we are, but I don't think A&T will ever be the same, because if you're going to stay out of these HBCU conferences, each year is going to get harder. And by looking at them and seeing them, it's like, okay, I'm motivated. They seem to have a good footing, but how are they really going to look on the field? That's what scares me. Like, we can watch preseason, we can watch tapes, we can watch practices all day long, but A&T is one of those teams until they actually step on the field and actually show what they've been doing offseason during the regular season. I'm not trying to put all my eggs in one basket with them. Like, they're my team. They're my heart. I'm an alum from them. Like, yes, I love them. And I will always support them. But it's just been really rocky for the past 3 years, and it's created some type of anxiety for me just to watch them. But I have hope. Not a lot of hope, but I have hope that they may do well this year.
I feel that. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust now. I want to talk about Tennessee State, because you remember we had the conversation about Eddie George and if he's on the hot seat because they lost to Lane. Shout out to the SIAC, and it was a lot that was going on. They didn't have the best season, and a lot of folks were comparing him to Deion Sanders and placing him on that pedestal and putting that standard upon him. I think that is totally unfair, and it's time to let Eddie George build a sustainable program that can win. And I honestly think that this year is going to be the year that they're good. I think that, I can't tell you the record, but I think that they're going to have a winning record. I think that they're going to be competitive. They're going to start with a win in the Southern Heritage Classic. So that's going to get them going, get them rolling. And I think that they're going to be incredibly competitive. And I see the changes that Eddie George has made to his team. So Tennessee State, they signed 4 offensive linemen, and hopefully they can protect quarterback Draylen Edwards, who a lot of folks are saying that he's going to be great. He's on the Black College Player of the Year watch list. He's doing a lot of amazing things. He did a lot of great things last year, but they could not protect him. And really, they didn't have a competent run or pass offense. Their rushing offense, they were getting 132.6 yards per game. That wasn't great. They were sixth in rush offense in the OVC. They were fifth in passing offense, 181.5 yards per game, because they couldn't keep Treylon Edwards upright. 37 sacks last year. That was really bad in the OVC. You got to protect your quarterback to get a good offense going. But the thing about Tennessee State that was really encouraging, the defense. And no one was talking about it because, honestly, when it came to HBCU football, Jackson State was that good. Jackson State, in general, was the number one defense in the FCS. But you look at Tennessee State, they were number one in pass defense in the OVC. They allowed 190.1 yards per game, which that's actually really good considering if you look at the rest of the conference in the OVC, and they were tied for first place in passing touchdowns allowed with 16. Then they were number two in scoring defense, only giving up 36 total touchdowns. So they had a great defensive year. If they had an offense where you allow Draylen to not get sacked 37 times and you're able to protect him and have a good run game, I think that they would have been great last year. And they had some games they really should have won. So to be honest, I think if they tighten up their offense, protect Draylen, and then you continue to maintain a dominant defense, that's going to be otherworldly. But yeah, I think Tennessee State is going to be perfectly fine. Like I said, like, don't judge them by Deion Sanders standards. Judge them by a coach that is on year three, that understands the game, and he's trying to build a sustainable roster, and he had a really great defense. You don't fire someone with that great of a defense, especially if he comes back with that. So that's all I'm saying. But Ariel, I got to ask you this. So teams to watch. I think that this season is going to be amazing for HBCU football. Honestly, even better than last year. A lot of compelling games. A lot of them are going to be streamed and shown on TV, shown on streaming services. So I want you to let us know, what team should we be watching this season?
Definitely on my side, the MEAC side, where I hail from, Howard is definitely going to be a team to watch. Central is going to be a team to watch. And I know everybody expects me to say South Carolina State. And I know I said that they were going number three, but that does not mean they're my number three team to watch. I think we definitely have to watch Norfolk State, just because they are a sneaky team that come up and take anyone that's trying to take the lead out. So those between Central, between Howard and Norfolk State, I think those are my three teams to watch.
So for me, it leads into the three games to watch. And you took the thought right out of my head. Week 11, North Carolina Central versus Howard. You said Howard might make the Celebration Bowl. Trey Oliver is going to hear this. He's going to be like, bet. Because Howard's walking around, shout out to Howard University, they're walking around with championship rings because they were the co-champions. So they said, we got the championship rings. We got really big rings. We doing really big things like Drake and Future. And what a time to be alive. You know, so they're like, listen, we the champs too. So now we're going to walk in and take your championship. We're going to the Celebration Bowl. We're going to pack out the Mercedes-Benz Stadium with all the affordable food. Because I saw it on Twitter. They got affordable food.
Really affordable. I am not going to lie. The last Celebration Bowl I went to, I don't know what they put in that Mercedes-Benz. I don't know why it's so cheap, but that food is affordable. The tickets, though, are different.
Well, Howard's going to get that affordable food, the four-piece chicken tender with the pretzel and the pizza. They're going to be asleep by halftime. Like, you know, all the carbs. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be in there. They're ready to go in there, walk in there, take over the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But Coach Trey Oliver and Davis Richard, they're like, nah. Like, we beat y'all. We beat y'all down, and we're going to do it again. So week 11, that is a game to watch. But honestly, on the SWAC side, because there's going to be a lot of compelling games on the SWAC side, Fanny versus Jackson State, like we talked about, this is going to ultimately determine for the third year in a row, to me, who wins the SWAC East. Now, I think Alabama State is going to be really interesting because I like what Eddie Robinson did last year, but I think it's going to come down between FAMU and Jackson State. And if FAMU wins this game, I only see them losing one other game, and that one other game is to an FBS program in South Florida. But that's the only other game I really see them losing. So that's going to be interesting. But Southern and Alcorn, to me, is another game to watch. Now, last year's game was amazing. And that ultimately, and I know some other factors at the end of the season, that ultimately determined who was really going to make it out of the SWAC West. So I think this year's game is going to be the same thing, because Alcorn, just like North Carolina A&T, is used to winning their conference. They're used to making it to the Celebration Bowl in the Celebration Bowl era. They had to move over to the West because you add FAMU and Bethune-Cookman. So now they're like, listen, we're not in the East anymore, but now we want to make it back to the SWAC Championship. We're going to once again beat Southern and Grambling, and then we're going to make it to the SWAC Championship. Then we're going to make it to the Celebration Bowl. But they have to make it past Southern, and that's going to be the big thing, because Southern beat them last year. So that's really going to be a huge game, because that really could determine a lot, because matchups matter. So that's going to really determine a lot to me. And I want to move into this really quickly, because as an A&T alum, Ariel, you know a lot about HBCUs beating FBS teams, because there's only really one that does that. And that is, well, Howard did it too, but that is North Carolina A&T consistently, right? So I did an article. So I'm writing for Clutch Points now. I'm the lead editor for Clutch Points for their HBC strategy. And I wrote an article where I listed every HBCU versus FBS matchup. And I was trying to see who's going to win these FBS games, right? Like who has a chance? So I got a few, and I want you to let me know if I'm off or if I'm on track, Ariel, okay? So first and foremost, we're going to start with North Carolina A&T. I think North Carolina A&T has a chance to beat UAB. I honestly really do. North Carolina A&T is in the history. It's in the pedigree. They're playing in the CAA. They played in the Big South. So I think the North Carolina A&T can come in and they can beat UAB. Now, we'll see. I don't know. We're going to see. It's on a Thursday night, so I'm going to be watching. But I'm just saying, I think North Carolina A&T, that could be the next FBS team that they beat in a compelling matchup. I am very confident in this next game. I think North Carolina Central beats UCLA. Beats UCLA last season in the Pac-12. Davius Richard gets drafted off this game. There's going to be a lot of players from North Carolina Central that's on some NFL draft boards after North Carolina Central beats UCLA. Because I see so many weaknesses in UCLA, especially their defense. And I honestly think that Davius Richard is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. So I think that just his dual threat ability, his ability to run, his ability to pass. And then what I saw against New Hampshire, an FCS playoff team, I know they have bigger defensive linemen and things of that nature when it comes to FBS, especially the Pac-12, which is cratering, okay? I think that North Carolina Central is going to go in there, they're going to win, and they're going to knock off the Pac-12 even more. They're going to say, what's up, Deion Sanders? Before you leave, what's up, Deion Sanders? How you doing? So that's what I think is going to happen when they go to the West Coast. Now, speaking of Deion Sanders, Jackson State doesn't have Deion Sanders. I'll say this, and a lot of folks might come at me crazy, all right? I looked at Texas State. They are not a great team. And at least they weren't last year. They were a terrible pass defense team. They gave up 244 yards a game last year. Ariel, you could be the quarterback. I could be the wide receiver. We could probably get a touchdown on them. At this point, if you look at just the numbers, like their defense is terrible. And they weren't an offensive juggernaut. They were 13th in the Sun Belt in total offense, 21 points per game. So if Jackson State finds a way, because that's later on in September, if they find a way to really get a team identity and get a passing game together, I think that they could make it very competitive against Texas State, because Texas State ain't Georgia. Texas State ain't Florida State. Texas State ain't Alabama. So I honestly think that Jackson State could beat Texas State. I'm not saying they will, but they very well could. But I'm saying North Carolina Central is going to be UCLA. I am saying that. Now, I'm going to say this one for sure. Howard is going to beat Northwestern. And the only reason why is Northwestern got too much going on. They got too much going on. Like, it's so much going on with the scandals and people leaving. It's such a huge media spotlight. Howard's going to come in there. They're going to be poised. They're going to be ready. And they have a couple winning games under their belt, and they're going to beat Northwestern. Howard's going to run off and beat Northwestern. It's going to be amazing. Listen, we're going to be like, yeah, HBCUs for the win. That's going to be too easy. Now, the last one here, I'm not saying this is going to be a win, but the energy going into this game and the way Tennessee State is talking, It makes me wonder. I think Tennessee State will be competitive against Notre Dame. I honestly do. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think they're going to be competitive. And Tennessee State sees Notre Dame folks that are saying, we don't want to play Tennessee State. What are we playing Tennessee State for? It's great there in HBCU. That's all great. But we trying to make the playoffs. Like, we trying to win a national championship. We just going to beat them, move on to the next team. Tennessee State see that. Eddie George is going to have a national spotlight on NBC and Peacock on week one. So he's going to be like, oh, for real? Bet. Players are like, already like, for real? Bet. We didn't come to Notre Dame to lay down. So I think that they're going to be nervous a little bit. Like, Notre Dame going to be like, oh, man, they're coming to play. They're coming to win this game. And I think Tennessee State, they might not win, but they're going to scare them. And those are just my upset predictions, all right? Take from that what you will. But what do you think, Aria?
I can give you two out of the five. I definitely think Central and UCLA is a game to watch. And I do believe miraculously that Central can pull out of that. I disagree with A&T and UAB. I don't see that game going the way that A&T wants it to go. I believe it will be a closer game than it should be. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Notre Dame and Tennessee, that's just, they're going to completely run over them. It's the Irish. It's Notre Dame. That's just the game. The one thing about Eddie George, he talks big. And I love his aspiration. You know, I love his ability to see the positive and be so optimistic. But his optimism is not going to get him far in this Notre Dame game. No way is that ever going to be possible. Howard Northwestern, and we've been covering this at my station at Scripps, that scandal completely put a rift in that football program. I personally would not be shocked if they opted not to play at all, because there's too much going on. And I think some of these coaches, and not necessarily players of other teams, but coaches may be leery of trying to connect themselves and that media with Northwestern. Out of all of them, out of all the definite wins, it was only two. That is probably like an official yes. Like, they're completely going to own Northwestern, and that's going to be the end of that. All these other games, though, Rand, I love how you're trying to see them from a positive light, especially my beloved A&T. I just don't think they're part of that winning game. And that's okay.
So let's talk about players to watch. What are two players, one on offense, one on defense, in the SWAC and the MEAC, just both combined together, or even like OVC, CAA with Hampton and A&T, Tennessee State, what are two players, offense, defense, that we should be watching this season?
Offensively, of course, we already know what I'm going to say. Davius Richard, he's going to be the main one that I am looking for offensively to see if he can outdo himself, which I high key is impossible with the stats that he put up last season. He is my player to watch offensively. Defensively, though, I'm still staying in the MEAC, is going to be Kenny Gallup Jr. He's a defensive back for Howard, who I think had an amazing season, who also contributed to most of their interception picks and tips combined for that Howard defense. I believe between him and Davius Richards, those are the players to watch.
So I knew you were going to pick Davius Richard. So I was like, I'm not even going to write down Davius Richard. So my offensive player, Jeremy Musa. Like I said, I think that FAMU is going all the way to the Celebration Bowl, and they, I think, will win it. So Jeremy Musa, you look at his 2022 stats, 2,732 yards passing, 21 passing touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I think that he doesn't throw 10 interceptions this year. I think it's a lesser number, but I think that he's going to have a really great season. And you can only expect, especially with him now his second year in the SWAC, I think he's only going to be better. He's adjusted to the play. They're not going to be playing UNC. They play South Florida, but they're not going to be playing UNC because we know that that game was a little bit wild. And I think he did well in that game. So I think that Jeremy Musa is a championship quarterback, and he is going to show that. That's my offensive player to watch. Now, defense, you tricked me a little bit. I put two players down because I was like, I know that Ariel is going to pick Khalil Baker. I was like, I'm not going to say Khalil Baker. So I was going to say Sundiana Anderson for Grambling. 50 tackles, 23 solo tackles, 7 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 pass breakups last year. he's going to be something serious for Grambling if they want to make it into the contenders for the SWAC West. So I was going to say, hey, son of Deanna Anderson, but you left Khalil Baker up there. Khalil Baker, the inaugural Aeneas Williams Award winner for top defensive back in HBCU football, a huge component of North Carolina Central's Celebration Bowl win. Khalil Baker, 61 total tackles, 43 solo tackles last season, 4 interceptions, 9 pass breakups. He's going to only get better this year. He's really in line to possibly win the Aeneas Williams Award for the second straight year, start off the award winning it twice, going to one man. You know, so I'm just saying, you left it over. Got to give two. They're the players to watch. So listen, Ario, before we go, I'm a graduate of Fort Valley State University, okay? Division II HBCU, SIAC. And one thing I've hated, Ario, that I've seen all around college football, and on social media, it really irks me, is that folks really only care about Power 5 FBS football. And we've seen that when it came to the Pac-12's implosion. But you also see a lot of folks look down at lower levels of football. Folks look down at FCS. No matter how many teams North Dakota State beats, no matter how many teams North Carolina A&T is beating, they don't care about that. All, not even just HBCUs, all FCS schools, lower level. We don't want to play them. But even more so, Division II schools, they just think we Pop Warner. They think we peewee football. So on this show, as you know, Ariel, we got to show love to Division II. So real quick, I want to give you my predictions for how Division II football is going to go for HBCUs on this season, the SIAC and the CIAA. So the SIAC, we're going to make it real simple and brief because it's really real quick for both conferences. Fort Valley Benedict, two best teams in the conference. We're going to a non-divisional schedule. So that means that the championship is going to be the number one and number two teams in the conference, unlike last year. So Fort Valley, Benedict was number one. Fort Valley was number two. So they were number one, number two. Benedict beat us down 45-13 for our homecoming. They called themselves homecoming crashers, and they were, and they went on to be undefeated, beat Tuskegee, make it to the playoffs. They won the SIC championship. Fort Valley sees what's going on. We know what's happening. We're going to have Benedict versus Fort Valley on ESPN2 later on in the season, and Fort Valley, I think, is going to win that game. Benedict's going to win the rest of their games. Benedict's going to be like, oh, you beat us on ESPN2 in 71 million homes? So guess what? We going to run it back in the SIC championship. We going to make it happen in that way. And I honestly think that Fort Valley is going to win this year. I don't want to be biased. I really don't. And I'm going to call it how I see it. But to be 100% honest, I think that Fort Valley is going to beat Benedict. I think that Benedict had a magical run last year. And I think they're going to be just as good this year. You have to give that reverence to the champions. But I think that Fort Valley has a lot to prove. I think that Kevin Durham is an amazing quarterback, and he's going to lead Fort Valley to the win. But Benedict's going to be really good. Got to always look at Albany State. Tuskegee wants to smoke. But I just think it's going to come down to Fort Valley and Benedict. So CIAA, listen, I thought last year, as you know, Ario, that Virginia Union was going to be that team. They were the team to beat. They were going to make it all the way through. They were going to win the CIAA championship, especially after they beat Bowie. And Bowie's been the dominant team in the CIAA North. So they beat Bowie, but then they lose to Chawan. And Chawan makes it all the way to the CIAA championship. I thought they were going to take the CIAA championship and leave the conference. You know, but Fayetteville State, in a compelling game, was able to beat them. I think Virginia Union, Jada Byers is back. He's going to be better. He's a year older, a year wiser. He knows the game. He's going to come back, and he's going to be a monster as a running back. He might really, truly win the Harlan Hill Trophy this year, and that goes to the best player in Division II football, period. Not just HBCUs, in Division II football, period. I think Jada Byers really wants this. I think Virginia Union wants to get back over the hump and become the champions of CIAA again, and they want another berth in the playoffs because Wingate, like I predicted, Wingate did stop that run a little bit. They got to Jada Byers a little bit. Jada Byers wasn't really able to make it happen like he normally does. I think that they want all the smoke. They want to win. And I think them and Fayetteville State's making it out again. I know Shaw is looking really good. Bendick plays Shaw to start the year. Fayetteville State is going to be great. And I think that they're going to eventually make it. And then Jada Byers is going to get that win. Jada Byers cannot leave Virginia Union. He cannot go to, he's going to go to the NFL. He cannot go to the NFL without winning the NCAA championship. That is unacceptable. He's going to do it this year, and he's probably gone after that. He's going to get drafted. If he don't get drafted, it's rigged. That's too good. It is rigged. Like, that guy is too good to not be on a professional team, period. So, like, he needs to win the NCAA before he goes pro and makes the millions at this point. Now, listen, players to look out for really quickly. Kelvin Durham, Lupert Denalis. Now, that's a very easy pick because they were the picks for the SIC preseason offensive and defensive player of the year. So this is not like I'm doing hard-hitting analysis here. They were really good last season. Kelvin Durham, 1,994 passing yards, passed for 16 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, very accurate quarterback. Lupert Denalis, defensive star for Benedict. Benedict had a really tough defense last year. 51 tackles, 38 solo tackles. He was taking out folks by himself. 14 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. Both players are going to only get better. Even the SIC recognizes that. Now, for the CIAA, Jada Byers, of course, that's the guy. Rushed for 1,920 yards, 19 touchdowns, went crazy versus Valdosta State, who the year prior made it to the NCAA Division II National Championship and lost to Ferris State. He saw what Ferris State did, where they just kept running the ball against Valdosta, and they were able to win in dominant fashion. Jada Byers put the team on his back and won what was a very compelling game for a Valdosta State team that was sort of disappointing. So I think that Jada Byers is going to, of course, once again, be the offensive player to watch. But defensive end for Fayetteville State, Cameron Merrill, 6'2". I think he could be the next pro player drafted or signed out of an HBCU, especially the Division II HBCU, to go to the NFL. He had 94 tackles. And I had to look again to see if I was wrong. I was like, for the career? 94 for a season. 94 tackles, 37 solo tackles, 9.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. He is a defensive talent. He is a defensive star. He could be the next person to get drafted out the CIAA, and I think he is going to be a monster when it comes down to conference play. And that's going to be a very interesting matchup when we eventually do see Virginia Union and Jada Byers versus Fayetteville State, because that's going to be interesting. So that's what I'm thinking in the SIC and the CIAA. I'm just saying it's going to be good. These folks need to stop playing with us. Okay, we got some good football over here. We're on ESPN2 with it, Fort Valley Benedict. They're going to stop playing with us, Ariel.
I'm excited. Last year, introducing this D2 segment, I learned so much, and I ended up getting really into the games. You saw that. I'm over here texting you during championship, like, Randall, what is going on? Like, what is happening? Like, this wasn't your pick. Like, what's... You got me especially into it, and we've got into it. So I'm super excited to see where these players go. So I'm excited for these games, and I'm ready for them in... Hopefully these became our games to watch. I don't know what was going on in the SWAC and MEAC, but we completely went left field and started watching them because they were giving us the better games. Maybe they might do it again this year, but I'm excited to see these matchups.
Yeah, like, I think that in general, HBCU football is in a renaissance and people are paying attention. And I know that a lot of folks did contribute that to Deion Sanders, and I think he did help out a lot. I think he did. But I believe that the play of the conferences and the play of these teams and the support of HBCU fans and what we've done in media, us, HBCU Game Day, other podcasts, Off Script. I think that what we've done in general has brought a light and fans and energy to the game. And I think that we're going to reap a lot of dividends on this year. So I'm super excited to cover it with you, Aria. We're going to make it happen and all these amazing things. So Aria, listen, where can we find you on social media?
Listen, you can follow me and you can follow all my stories on Instagram at __.ModernDayAri. Or you can find me on Twitter, put me in the hot seat again, @Greery__. Or you can follow me on my website, theunaxedopinion.weebly.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the show on today. Of course, you can follow HBCU Pulse on Instagram and YouTube at HBCU Pulse, Twitter and TikTok, the HBCU Pulse, and subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio wherever you get your podcasts. You can donate to us at paypal.me/HBCU Pulse or cash up us at $HBCU Pulse. But outside of that, thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, we'll see you on the other side and we'll talk to you next week.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, head to HBCUPulse.com to stay up to date on what's going on in the HBCU community. Thank you for listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.